Will you turn with me to the portion we read there in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis in chapter 13. Genesis and chapter 13. And I want to look at the life of both Abraham and Lot as it is given to us in this chapter. And perhaps the theme that I want to take is the tension between choices and faith. If you go into the supermarkets today to do a shopping, you are immediately confronted by so many different offers of the same product. There are so many different types of bread that's available to us. And perhaps for any one type of bread, you've got several different bakers and manufacturers producing it and making it available to us. And that range of products, that range of choice, sets the job for the advertising industry today. They want to make the best presentation of the attractive qualities about their product. So enticing us, you and me, to buy. If we get it wrong, it's no big deal. We learn our lesson. We don't go for that particular product again. We'll try another brand. But there are some choices in life which have consequences which run all the way through life. And we may not find out if we're right or wrong until we're beyond the point that we can put it right. How important then it is that when we've got a choice to make, we get it right first time. And especially that applies to spiritual choices that we've got to make. There are many big mistakes that we can make. What, therefore, are we going to use to determine our choice? How are we going to make these choices that are before us every day in life? God tells us in several different ways how we are to make these choices. He sets out for us principles that we can apply in every situation. For example, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That must be the priority that we all have. Principles. But not only does he give principles, but God gives us flesh and blood examples. He gives us principles and he gives us people. People who are either a lighthouse drawing us to a safe haven or a warning beacon of danger round about. You think of Mary, who delighted to sit at the feet of Jesus and to drink in his word. One thing that she's chosen, and it will not be taken from her. Guidance in the choices that we've got to make in life. Or again, you've got the farmer. The farmer who all he thought about was grain and ground, the weather forecast and harvest. All he wanted was a bigger store for what he was gathering in. He made the wrong choice. And he found out at the end when it was too late that he had done so. What therefore do you and I want out of life? Where are we going? What choices are we making to get us down that road and to that destination? There are two gates. There are two roads. There are two crowds. There are two destinations. The choice is there, so often set before us. You are on the broad road. You're going down towards that destination. You've got a choice so often through life. You've got things that you choose and things that you want to do. And these things have a great consequence. Where will they lead you? So therefore, you've got to think through, not just simply in terms of here and now, but you've got to think through the choices you've got to make in the light of eternity. God gives us help with principles and with people in the choices we've got to make. And I want to come tonight to look at two people that will help us in the choices that we've to make, because they give us guidance from their example. Abraham and Lot. But before we get to look at the specific verses here, I want, and it's profitable for us, and it's helpful to the background of this chapter and study, I want us to think of the problem, the difficulties that Abraham had just prior to chapter 13. Abraham, in chapter 12, had been called by God. God broke into his life and called him to follow the Lord God. And Abraham was given huge promises. He was given tremendous commitment by God. God said that he would bless him. God said that he would stand on his side and protect him from his enemies and give him protection. God said that he would build him up to be a mighty nation, so that if you were to count the dust and round about us, then you would be able to number the nation that God was going to create from Abraham. Tremendous blessings given to Abraham. But Abraham found it difficult at the start of that great spiritual journey. Abraham found it difficult to live within what God had given him. And we see that just in this chapter 12 for us. What happened, we're told at verse 10 of chapter 12. There was a famine in the land. There's the start of a sad period in the life of Abraham already. Famine, no food. He wasn't long on that spiritual journey when he had to move down to Egypt. We know the way in which Egypt was the breadbasket of that area, because later on with Joseph, it was for 7 years able to provide enough to keep it going for a further 7 years. And there was nothing wrong with what Abraham did in going down into Egypt. It was what he did there that was the problem. His wife Sarah was very attractive. And he was afraid that somebody might kill him to get her. And so therefore he devised this. He says, you're not going to be my wife, you're going to be my sister. He was trying to create something to protect, in his own way, to protect, keep alive the promises that God had given him. He felt that he had to do something to protect these great promises that God had given concerning himself and his wife, Sarah. Instead of trusting in the Lord, he tried to do things his own way. And it didn't succeed, and it got others and himself into trouble and into difficulty. If she was to be his sister, there was still the risk that somebody might want her, and there might be the need for negotiation, and he might have to either succumb or run and escape. It wasn't complete protection that he was putting in place. But whatever he had thought of, he was totally surprised by what happened next. In a way he never thought of, something came upon him. He was taken to the court of Pharaoh, and he was there given riches, but he lost his wife. There Pharaoh cast his eye upon her, took him and paid him well. Our sins will indeed get us into trouble. At a time when we think all is going well and the plans that we've made and the things that we've put in place, we think they're just nicely tailored to protect us. But then we find out the cracks begin to develop and our sins get us into trouble and they find us out. And he was discovered and he was found out in a most embarrassing way. Here we have the ungodly used to correct a believer. Here we have the ungodly Pharaoh used to correct the believer Abraham. The plagues came on the house of Egypt. Pharaoh was aware that there was something wrong, and he asked the question, summoning Abraham, and he had anger in the question he asked in verse 18. What is this that was done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? There was righteous indignation, and Abraham was found out. He was silent, he was guilty, and he was told to go. The deceit that he had tried, the construction he put in place, the plans that he conceived and concocted, thinking that God's promises needed his protection. So what happened? Abram went up out of Egypt, and he went to the place, we're told, at the beginning of chapter 13, the place called Bethel. Life, we know it ourselves, life is seldom straightforward. One problem is overcome, only to discover another one waiting in the wings. And here is Abraham brought, going back to the place Bethel. And the experience that he had there in Egypt had an effect upon him. humbled him, brought him low, made him pause and think for a moment. But it certainly brought him back to the Lord. And Abraham was learning, and he was learning perhaps the hard way. He was learning the hard way what it means to trust in the Lord. That's what he was learning through his ill-conceived plans. The Lord's promises certainly don't need the protection of the like of Abraham. And he discovered through perhaps certainly his humiliation, being found out, his guilt, all of these experiences that were piling into his life because of experience in Egypt, all of these things had an effect upon him. And so he returned to Bethel, drawing back and drawing closer to his God, discovering something of the meaning of the promises of protection that God had given him. Here he was in the famine and in Egypt, and here he was in a difficult situation with his life on the line almost, and God delivered him out of it. All of these thoughts going through his mind, in his soul. He learned from that situation, and he turned aside to worship God for the way in which God had dealt with him. And what he learned out of that one situation, we'll see, equips him for the next problem that comes his way. We need ourselves to learn from one situation something that will help us in the next one. We need to mature in our faith. We need to grow, as Peter tells us, to grow not only in our knowledge, but to grow also in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we? We go through perhaps a difficult stage and a difficult experience this past week. Perhaps we've been through something in recent days in our life. Something where we stand close to where Abraham was. And God has brought us out of it and through it. And we've learned something, not only the knowledge of the Lord, but the grace of the Lord from it. And we turn aside, as Abraham did, to Bethel, to worship our God. And so he comes to Bethel. They were blessed, we are told at the beginning of this chapter 13. Both of them were on the move. They were nomads. But as they had more and more riches, so it was more and more difficult for them to move around. As they got more blessing, more cattle, more furnishings, and build up the infrastructure of house and home, it is more and more difficult for them to take it all down, dismantle a tent or whatever building they were in, pack it up and move on. They were looking for a place to stay. And that's what brings us to chapter 13. And the problem that that brought to them. We said they solved the problem of the famine in Egypt, but there was another problem just waiting in the wings. And how are they going to do with this problem? Learning from one situation into another one. There was a dispute arose very quickly with Abraham and Lot because we're told the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. That means that they had the best crops, best fields, best ground. Abraham and Lot had to take what was round the edges. And living like that, they were constantly on the move and they were constantly looking for good grazing and such like for their animals. And they were living close by each other. And it was only a matter of time before there was going to be a dispute. Sometimes it's a little trivial thing. Sometimes it's a little thing that just simply blows up and causes a dispute within the Lord's people. This was not a dispute between Abraham and the Canaanites. No. This was a problem in-house, between themselves as a family. And unless it was solved quickly, it could bring danger from others. And so there was a dispute that had to be solved and addressed. Today, we are surrounded by the enemies of our faith and our Lord. And they take great delight when Christians fall out. They greatly love it to see Christians fighting. And that's why we've got to be always striving and endeavoring to live at peace, especially with our fellow brethren and believers. We must never give ammunition to others to fire back at us. Abraham was conscious of that danger. And so we find him taking decisions to try to control it, remove it, overcome it. Abraham therefore saw that there was a decisive moment, and he started his own initiative. There was a hill about 10 miles to the north of Jerusalem which gave a good view over the valley of the South Jordan Valley. A decisive moment where he said to Lot, "Lift up your eyes, you choose." And we immediately see here the lessons that Abraham learned when he was in Egypt. Here in the Jordan, faith is operating in what he is saying. He's not manipulating things. He's not scheming and planning things. Well, you take that field and I'll take this field, and you stick by that side of the river and I'll stick to this side of the river. That was not the way that Abram did things now, like he planned when he was in Egypt. Instead of trying to protect his own, Abraham was quite prepared to give away all of his interests. He didn't put any restriction on what Lot had to choose. He says, "You choose. Full stop. You choose, Lot. You look, you choose." You might say, wait a minute, Abraham. Are you not being rather bold in what you're saying? You're giving the whole land to Lot. But there was in Abraham that rising of faith that he had learned the hard way when he was in Egypt. He had learned the hard way to trust and to rely upon God. And Abraham believed that God, who gave him the land, no matter what choice Lot were to make, God would see to it that he was given the land enough, more than enough, for himself and his nation and his people. Can you not see with Abraham this time a meek and a peaceable spirit. He wasn't up there in your face. He wasn't brash. He wasn't there planning and at the center of all of the things that were happening. That meek and peaceable spirit, which is somewhat rare in our society today. Because today, the thinking of our society is each man for himself. I want, I get. That's the way people think today. But here we have Abraham exhibiting something of the Christian character, the product of the Holy Spirit within him. Here is Abraham prepared to put the interests of others before his own. And he took the heat out of the situation by not standing for his own interests. It was a decisive moment, to be sure. But it was a much more decisive moment for Abraham than for Lot. Lot was given the first choice. But it is the character of Abraham that comes out in that choice that is all the more attractive, and where we look and what we linger over. You remember the example of our Lord given to us in Philippians chapter 2. And there you have all of the credentials, all of the things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He who was in the form of God. He who was in his essence divine. Here is Almighty God. And what does he become? He humbles himself as a servant. And he even goes to the point of the cross and to death. And we have all the steps bringing him down. And never once does he stand on his dignity. And never once does he say, I'm different. But he goes right down. That meekness of the Lord. And here is Abraham exhibiting something of it in the way in which he deals with Lot. Well, an application of that for ourselves. Maybe let me do it like this. We all of us are presented with the gospel. We all of us have the gospel set before us in the ministry of the word. A decisive moment for us. What will we do in that decisive moment? Will we give up what we cannot keep so that we gain what we cannot lose? Will we give up what we cannot keep that we may gain what we cannot lose? A decisive moment. But that takes us on to a disastrous decision. The eye of Lot roams over this whole area. Good land, fresh and lush. And all that he saw. And he made this decision on several different factors. There were several different things that were operating in the mind of Lot in the decision that he made. First of all, there was the element of prosperity. That plain that he was looking at, the South Jordan Valley, it was fertile. There was volcanic ground, there was the Jordan, there was water, there was nutrients, there was everything going for a great agricultural basis. The grass, the vines, the crops, the cattle. And he wanted it. And his mind was especially focused because remember where he's just come from. He's just come out of Egypt, and it was a famine he was in Egypt. But now he's got all this riches, and he knows what it is to be hungry, and he knows what it is to be without, and he doesn't want it to happen again. So now he can be filled, and he goes for the prosperity of that place. He was appealing, and the appeal of provision and prosperity. And he dismissed anything of spiritual input in his decision. He was looking to the land, not to the Lord. The great deceit of our age runs on a similar line. There is so much material provision laid out before you and me. There's so much that is laid out to cater for our almost every need. But there is one aspect of our character which is not met in all of the prosperity of our day and our generation. They forget our spiritual side. There are times, yes, there are times when people will forget about their spiritual side of their character and being. There are times when they'll bypass it. But there are also times when that spirituality of you and me, made in the image of God, with that spiritual capacity to know Him, a spiritual longing and yearning within that's been smothered and spoiled with sin, that spiritual capacity, there are times when it will break through. And we will be aware of what has not been met by all of the provision of society round about us. We cannot cope. We're not ready. The deceitfulness of society about us. We've talked about the advertising gurus at the beginning of the sermon. These advertisements that come to us today, they hold out so much for us. And they create a false idea. And the idea is, well, if I get that, we'll be happy. If I have that, I'll be content. And so therefore the eye roams and the ear listens to the whisper of our heart. And our heart says, I want that. And if I get it, I will be content. But we cannot escape it. We are spiritual creatures. And God has told us quite simply in Luke chapter 12. It stands all the more today. A man's life does not consist in the things that he has. We are more than the sum total of all the chemicals and the elements that surround us or even make us up. The disastrous decision, the prosperity round about him that was a factor in that decision. But not only was there prosperity, there was also the buzz and the excitement of the city life. We've got it ourselves round about us in our day as well. There's always the buzz of the lights and the movement and the shops. 24/7 they're open. There's always a place where you can buy something you need. And that buzz attracts people together. But the godly life, especially the godly life of Abraham, was more quiet and subdued. And there was a contrast for Lot. And he wanted that excitement. doing something, creating the air of achievement, the air of satisfaction, the air of working, moving, doing it. Today there's no end to the excitement that people create and offer. There's always a craving for something spectacular, something new, something exciting, something thrilling. And whenever you see people looking at that which is on offer and they compare it with the Christian life, well, they say the Christian life doesn't measure up. It's too mundane, it's too dull, it's too routine. And as soon as we hear that, that's a criticism of me and you. Because we are the ones who create that Christian impression with others. We need to show more and more of the joy of knowing the Lord. We need to have that sense of expectancy with us, that sense of discovery of the things that He shows us each day, that which is far better, bigger than anything that this world has. You're talking about excitement? Well, the excitement of living as a Christian for the Lord and with the Lord, that excitement must needs be better and bigger than anything that this world offers. We've got to ask people, therefore, when we talk about excitement and we talk about joy, is what you've got a fleeting moment of intoxicating excitement? Is what you've got a fleeting moment of intoxicating excitement? Or is it a durable experience of spiritual joy? Which is it? For a moment or forever? The disastrous decision that Lot made. It was a delusion. There was no discernment in the choice he made. It was cold. It was utterly insensitive. There was no concern for the character of the people he was mixing with. There was no concern for what they were likely to have an effect upon him. A question that we should always ask ourselves: what's the effect of where I'm going? What's the effect of the people I'm mixing with? What's the effect of this or that on my soul and on my life? That's the kind of questions we've got to ask. Will I regret it? Or will I rejoice in it one day? Is what I'm going to do, does it have the commendation of God? Or does it have the condemnation of God? God's word doesn't shackle us to deny us joy. But God's word points us in the path of real and lasting life. A disastrous decision. Decisive moment. One last thought before we close. They were going in different directions and destinations. Look at the way in which it's set out for us. We're told that both of them were instructed to lift up their eyes. Abraham said to Lot in verse 19, lift up your eyes. In verse 9 rather, lift up your eyes. In verse 14, God says to Abraham, lift up your eyes. What was it that Abraham, what was it that Lot saw? Lot saw the land. But Abraham saw not only the land, but he saw the one who gave it to him. The land that Lot went after, it was temporary. Go back to verse 10 and look at the description that's given. It was well watered everywhere. Be before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was on a short ticket. It was going to be destroyed very quickly. It wasn't going to last in the possession and the enjoyment of Lot. But come to what God said. Look at verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. It was permanently given to Abraham. And Abraham was told, go now and walk amongst it. Walking amongst it, symbolizing his ownership of it. Just the same way as you and I are called to walk in the enjoyment of the promises and the provisions that God has made and given to us. The Christian life will always be satisfying. It may well be testing from time to time. It may even be surprising at moments. But the Christian life will never ever be empty. Here we have different destinations that were given to them. We look at the experience of Sodom, of Lot. You can work it out yourself that Lot went closer and closer to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain. First of all, we're told he looked at Sodom, chapter 13:10. He moved near it in verse 12. In chapter 14, he was inside the city. Abraham had to come and rescue him and deliver him from it. But it wasn't very long before he was back in again into that city in chapter 19. He had the privileges. He had the deliverance. What did he use them for and what did he put them to in his life? Has the Lord brought home to you perhaps the consequences of choices you've made? Perhaps delivered you from them at one time, but you're now standing with a similar choice again. What will you do with it? Will you go back as Lot did from chapter 14 to chapter 19 back into Sodom? Or will we heed the warnings that God has given and seek him while he yet may be found? We need to take care then over the decisions that we make, especially the decisions that are important and vital in the area of Christ and of his salvation in the gospel. Nothing is more important than our soul. And there is nothing more needful than to have Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Let me repeat again what we said there about Lot facing the city. Do we give up what we cannot keep to gain what we cannot lose? Choices, Abraham had to face them, we have to face them. But choices made in the exercise of faith as the Lord dealt with him and brought him on and matured him in his faith. Let us pray. Our God and our Lord, we bless thee again for the riches of thy word. And we bless thee, Lord, for the examples given to us of those thy people who have gone before us. Open thou our eyes and make our hearts sensitive to their life and their living. May we recognize the things of thyself in them, and by thy strength and power help us to reflect likewise the way they lived. Lord, hear us and help us. We are poor and frail and weak, even at our best. And we ask of thee, O Lord God, that thou wouldst forgive. Thou wouldst look down upon us, undertake for us, and do us good. For in Jesus' name we ask all of these things, and for his sake. Amen. We closed this evening by singing from Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and we're singing at verse 21. All praise and thanks be to the Lord, for he hath magnified his wondrous love to me within a city fortified. For from thine eyes cut off I am, I in my haste had said, my voice yet heardst thou when to thee with cries my moan I made. O love the Lord, all ye saints, because the Lord doth guard the faithful, and he plenteously proud doers doth reward. Be of good courage, and he strength unto your heart shall send, all ye whose hope and confidence doth on the Lord depend. Psalm 31 at verse 21. All praise and thanks be to the Lord. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.